in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. So you have the one God creating other things, the heaven and the earth, the universe. So all reality is not one. There's a plurality of things that exist. Buddhists reject the existence of a personal God. If Buddhists believe in God, they believe it's the Buddha. It's a non-personal God. If they don't believe in God, then obviously they reject the existence of a God, personal or non-personal. But John 3:16 tells us that for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but everlasting life. But God loves the world. Romans 5:8 says God demonstrate His love for us in that Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. The Bible teaches a personal God that can enter into a personal love, trust, relationship with us. The Buddhist teaches there's no such thing as sin. The scriptures are real clear. Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23, Romans 3:10, Romans 5:12, that there is such a thing as sin. Sin ultimately is rebellion against God. The Buddhists would deny Jesus' deity. Those Buddhists who deny that God exists, the Buddhists who believe the Buddha is God would believe Jesus is, would probably believe Jesus is God, but they're pantheists. They believe everyone is God. So it's a denial of Jesus' unique deity, denial of Him as the only begotten Son of the Father. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, the Word became flesh. So Jesus is God, become a man, and the Buddhists would deny Him as being the unique manifestation of God, and uniquely God in the flesh. They deny salvation through Jesus alone, which the scriptures clearly teach. 1 Peter 2:24, 1 Peter 3:18 talk about Jesus dying on the cross for our sins, taking our punishment upon Himself. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through Me. Of course, John 3:16 through 18, that God loved the world so much that He sent His Son, and whoever believes in Him receives eternal life, doesn't perish. God didn't send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. If you believe in the Son, trust in Him for salvation, you're saved. If you reject Him, you remain lost. The Buddhist denial of absolute truth, reason, morality. Scriptures are real clear. John 1:18, God says, come let us reason together. So we can think, there is truth. John 17:17, God is called the God of truth. Okay? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through Me. Isaiah 5:20 says, what are those who call evil good and good evil? There is a distinction between good and evil. And even the Buddhists live like there is, regardless of what they may say. So that's it for Buddhism. Let me talk about another offshoot of Hinduism, and that is Jainism. We may even be able to talk a little bit about Sikhism. I want to really, maybe rush is a strong word, but I do want to really get through these really quick so that we could spend our final hour on the New Age movement. But Jainism is one of the three great religions that came from Hinduism. The other two would be Buddhism and Sikhism. Okay? The history of Jainism, founded by Mahavira, born 599 BC in northeast India. He was a contemporary of Buddha. He began to live a life of self-denial at age 30. He didn't speak or wash for 12 years. That would turn me off. I don't think I'd be one of his followers, or if I followed him, I'd followed him at a distance. So he began to live a life of self-denial at age 30, didn't speak or wash for 12 years. He wandered naked throughout India, meditated daily. The wandering naked throughout India, another turnoff for me. I'm not real likely to follow religious leaders who don't speak or wash and then wander naked. At age 42, he received enlightenment, so it took him to 12 years of not speaking or watching. You know, I tell you, he's a lot along the same lines of as Buddha here, because, you know, speaking, washing, that involves a certain amount of desire there. You know, desire to be clean, the desire to be heard. And so he's depriving himself. He receives enlightenment and nirvana at age 42. And at that point, he said, now I want to help others. So he stopped living alone and accepted followers. Now, Mahavira's disagreement with Hinduism, you know, Mahavira, the founder of Jainism, he sought to lessen the law of karma. So not all your sufferings are due to past lives. So you might be suffering innocently, okay? He stressed the independence of individual souls, whereas Hinduism taught that individual souls are an illusion and there's really only one world soul. He sought a casteless society and opposed the prominence of the priestly caste. So like Buddha, he did not like this vicious caste system, these vicious classes that you couldn't escape from without a better reincarnation. He opposed polytheism, the belief in many gods, but didn't himself teach the existence of any god. So again, like Buddha, he appears to be agnostic. He was opposed to animal sacrifices. He taught others not to harm any living thing. He's got a lot in common with Buddha. Okay? Some of the teachings of Jainism, Mahavira refused to acknowledge or worship any god. In fact, his views were probably more atheistic than agnostic when compared with Buddhism. Later Jainism began to worship Mahavira, as with, you know, later some later Buddhists did as well, but that's not what Mahavira taught. He taught rigid self-denial to attain salvation, renounce the killing of any living things, renounce lying, renounce greed, renounce sexual pleasure and worldly attachments. He taught nonviolence, which he called ahimsa. Taught nonviolence and strict vegetarianism. He taught that all things are eternal, that a sage, a wise man, must remove himself from both love and hate. So not only is it wrong to hate with passion, it's wrong to love with passion. So you want moderation. You want to cease from, you know, again, it's a lot like Buddhism, ceasing of desires. He said that men suffer for their own deeds. However, you know, he's open to someone suffering a little bit, something that's not a consequence of their actions. There could be some innocent suffering. Good and evil do exist. Now, how you get that out of Hinduism, I don't know. But he believed that there is such a thing as good and evil. And Mahavira's teachings didn't take permanent written form until 1,000 years after his death. Therefore, we're not really sure what he taught. This is what Jainism teaches, but whether or not he actually taught it himself, that's rather questionable. Now, Sikhism, its history, it's another offshoot of Hinduism. Nanak was born, the founder, in 1469 AD in India. This is a fairly new religion when you compare it with Buddhism and Hinduism. He received a vision of God at the age of 33. Sikhism is an attempt to harmonize Hinduism and the Muslim faith and Islam. Hinduism and Islam. So Sikhism is a lot like the Sufi branch of Islam. Nanak appointed Angad to be his successor. After Nanak's death, Angad taught that Nanak was equal with God. And that's crazy, because Islam teaches that God cannot become a man. Okay? That's the biggest problem Islam has with Christianity. Yet, after the founder's death, he's deified. Several gurus followed Angad. Guru Arjan compiled the Granth Sahib, the Lord's book, their sacred writings. Sikhism, their teachings, they reject some teachings of Hinduism and Islam. Okay, so they pick and choose from both. They believe in one God who is sovereign. They call him Satnam, which sounds almost like Satan. It kind of scares me, but that Satnam is God's true name. There's an Islamic influence there that you got to call God by his true name with Islam is Allah. But they believe that this one God who is supreme is non-personal. So they get that from Hinduism. Okay? So the idea that there's one God that's kind of from Islam and he's got one true name, the idea that God is non-personal, they get that from Hinduism. That God is truth, God is reality, but God is not a personal being. Salvation consists in knowing God and being absorbed into him, or it, being absorbed into it, into the non-personal God. They get that from Hinduism. The Hindu idea of the individual soul merging with the world soul, they accept that. Now, though they believe in one God, they believe that this one God has manifested itself in many different ways. So the Hindu polytheism is rejected. They side with Islam, only one God. It's a non-personal God, so they're siding with Hinduism on that. They agree with Hinduism on reincarnation, but they repeat prescribed prayers like Islam does. So Sikhism has a lot in common with the Sufi faith, Sufi Islam, because it seems to be it is emerging Hinduism with Islam. Okay, I'll talk a little bit about Taoism. Taoism, they spell it like Taoism. It's actually spelled with a T, but it's pronounced Taoism. Okay, and I'm bringing it up here not because it's related to Hinduism, but because it's in another Eastern religion. Taoism is a Chinese religion. Lao Tzu was supposedly born between 604 and 570 BC. Some people doubt that he really existed. Lao Tzu means the old philosopher, so it might be just more of a parable than a true person. Lao Tzu opposed tyranny, government enslaving people. And in fact, he opposed the idea of government itself. He wrote a small book called The Tao of the King. It is also called The Way and Its Power, or The Way and Moral Principle, or The Lao Tzu. It's only 5,500 words long. That's not to mock it, because many powerful writings were very brief, like many of the letters in the New Testament or the Minor Prophets' writings, the Old Testament. Constitution is not exactly a big document, nor is the Declaration of Independence. Some of the most powerful documents have been small documents. But it instructs, the Tao instructs rulers how to govern. The less government, the better. But no Chinese ruler ever took its politics seriously. Still, the philosophy of this book has been very influential. It encourages non-ambition as a means of survival. So again, you have that somewhat of that Buddhist type thinking, getting away from desire. You have Chuangzu was a 4th century disciple, a 4th century BC disciple of Lao Tzu. He wrote 33 books and popularized the teachings of Lao Tzu. 212 BC, the Chinese emperor burned Confucian books. We might be able to talk a little bit about Confucianism, and established Taoism as the primary religion. So Tao teachings, Tao means way or path of ultimate reality, the ground of all existence. Tao is the way of the universe, the way one should order his life. It's beyond human understanding. It basically means to live passively, avoiding all stress and violence. Much like the Greek Stoic philosophers, just moderation is everything. There's an overemphasis on inactivity, indifference, and irresponsibility, and this will enable a man to properly commune with nature. Thus, man's life will flow with the Tao. In other words, the more active we are, the more we're fighting nature and trying to create our own reality. With the Tao, you want to just passively go with the flow of nature. Okay? The yin and the yang, you know, you'll see that on karate shirts, that looks like a six and an upside down six, a white one and a black one. That's talking about the yin and the yang. All things emanate from the Tao, negative and positive elements of the universe. The yin is the negative side, the female, the evil, darkness, death, winter, passive. The yang is the positive side, the male, the good, the light, life, summer, being active. And so it's both elements are emanating from the Tao, from the way. Okay, so this isn't dualism, this isn't two gods, it's kind of two sides of the same Tao, okay, the same way. So those who know the Tao don't care to talk about it, those who talk about the Tao don't know it. So whatever that means, I don't know, but it just, you know, a guy goes out and promotes Taoism, he's talking about the Tao, so... Religious Taoism was formalized in the 7th century AD with their own sacred scripture, priesthood, temples, and disciples. They have an eschatological belief, an end-time belief in a coming new age. They believe in heaven and hell. Modern Taoists have deified Lao Tzu. Many are polytheistic. They now believe in many gods, magic, and worship of demons. So that's a little background to Taoism. You know, it would be nice if I could just give you a little bit of background of two more Eastern religions before we start the New Age movement. Shintoism was once the national religion of Japan. It just kind of fell out of favor after World War II. We'll talk about that, but it's one of the oldest world religions. As I said, once the national religion of Japan, and it's not really a system of beliefs, it's purely a Japanese religion. Its origin is hidden in ancient history, we just don't know exactly when it started. But the Japanese believed their islands were the first divine creation. And until World War II ended, Japanese children were taught in school that the Japanese emperors were descendants of the sun goddess. From prehistory to 552 AD, Shintoism was unchallenged in Japan. 552 AD, Buddhism became popular in Japan and rivaled it. 800 AD to 1700 AD, Shinto blended with Buddhism and Confucianism. It was called Ryobu Shinto. 1700 AD, Shintoism was revived in Japan and then became the state religion. But after World War I, the Japanese emperor was worshipped. And then after World War II, state-enforced Shintoism ended. You see, basically the Japanese people viewed themselves as creations of the divine. They viewed themselves as a master race and as deity, and all others were sub-human. That explains the kamikaze pilots killing themselves, thinking that they were, you know, divine. And but the fundamental beliefs was that Japan is the country of the gods. Their religion was very similar in some ways to the Nazi religion of the deity of the Aryan race. So you can see why World War II would make it against the law to continue the Shinto faith. Shintoism believes that Japan is the country of the gods. The Japanese people are the descendants of the gods. The Japanese people are superior in intelligence and courage to others. Shinto means the way of the gods. They claim to have no founder, no sacred writings, or authoritative set of beliefs. Worship takes place at many Japanese shrines. There's worship of many deities, especially the sun goddess. The shrine is dedicated to the worship of the sun goddess that's found 200 miles southwest of Tokyo, the most sacred site in all of Japan. Yeah, so with Shintoism too, you get, you know, that same type of master race ideology found in the Nazi religion, he found there, and so they made great partners for World War II. And it explains why so many people were willing to die for the cause. It makes you wonder if they won World War II. You know, obviously the Japanese are not Aryans. And obviously the Germans are not related to the Japanese. So it seems to me like that would lead into another... If they had won, it would have eventually led to two supposed master races battling it out. Let me see if I can just touch on Confucianism. But Confucius, born 550 BC in China, contemporary of Buddha. His marriage ended in divorce. So kind of like Buddha, he didn't do well in the marriage thing. He became a teacher in his early 20s, became a moral reformer and government official. China was in a state of social anarchy at the time. He wrote his teachings during the last years of his life. He died in 479 BC. Confucius was later deified by his followers. Mengzi was born, became his most famous follower. Born in 371 BC, Mengzi taught that man is basically good. The teachings of Confucianism, ancestor worship, ancestors will curse or bless their living relatives, so the spirits of the dead need to be venerated. You have respect, obedience, and devotion of older family members. They almost worship the older family members and their ancestors. Okay, they have the golden rule, don't do to others what you don't want done to you. Now this predates Jesus's golden rule, but it's the negative of it. It's like, rather than do to others what you would have them do to you, it's don't do to others what you don't want them to do to you. We're taught that we should be gentle people, humble, sincere, gracious, that every person must fulfill his or her role in society, and we all have important roles in society. Rulers should lead by example, not by power. We should respect others, be courteous to them, try to have the ideal conduct. There are certain rituals, though, that are involved. Each of these has a name. I'm not going to butcher the pronunciation of them. But they also proclaim the arts of peace, music, poetry, artwork, that would further the cause of peace. Some of their ethical teachings found in Lun Yu, the book of Analects. Knowing others is more important than them knowing you. Admit when you don't know something. Only cowards don't do what they know to be right. The superior man seeks what is right. The inferior man seeks what is profitable. Loving what is right is better than knowing what is right. The effort is more important than the prize. So you can see a lot of truth is found in here. Some common sense, moral principles. A lot of this sounds like the biblical book of Proverbs. Good government has the confidence of the people. There's a sufficiency of food and a sufficiency of arms in that order. And so basically there is a role for limited government to protect its people. You agree to disagree with others, admit your errors. So in the end, Confucianism is much more an ethical system or philosophy of life than it is a religion. Confucius himself was agnostic about spiritual the spiritual realm and the supernatural realm, and he taught that man is basically good. It's implied by Confucius, but taught by Meng Tzu. So, so the idea that man is basically good is just straight out a contradiction of the scriptures, which teach that mankind is fallen. Now, what we're going to do in the next lecture, we're going to take a 15-minute break. We're going to talk about a little bit about the Baha'i faith and the New Age movement. Technically, the Baha'i faith and the New Age movement are Western religions, but they're Western religions that have been heavily influenced by the Eastern religions. So the Baha'i faith and the New Age movement represent the Eastern religious influence on the West.